Today we'll have Kevin's May trip report. That's coming up on this episode 214 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas and have lots of trip reports for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 214. So I know you guys love trip reports. Most of you do, the ones that like the longer episodes. And today is a good one from Kevin. He was an absolute joy to talk to, and we'll have him in just a minute. In the meantime, a normal reminder, as I always say, find me on social media so that we can make this a two-way conversation. The most accessible way is Instagram, but you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook. And we just had a Q&A last Sunday on the Facebook page with like 126 questions asked in 30 minutes. And I'm on Instagram every day. And if you tweet me, I will see it as well. So just look up WDW Prep School and we can talk there. As always, I will have a quick tip of the day after this trip report. But without any further ado, here is Kevin. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am excited to talk to you. We are talking today on Thursday, May 9th. And I bet you are headed to Disney World soon.
Oh, goodness, yes. And my family says I'm more excited than they are. So it's going to be, I'm just completely excited about going.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about your trip. What are your trip dates?
So we are actually going to drive from Atlanta to Orlando on the 16th. And what we're doing this time is we're actually going to stay off property. So that way we can get up in the morning and then go right to Animal Kingdom Lodge, where we will rest our head until the 24th. And so that way we can just kind of get up and we can head over there. And then we're going to go to our first park for the day, which is my absolute favorite, Hollywood Studios.
Wow. So I can't wait to get into that. Why Hollywood Studios is your favorite park? Okay.
Oh, goodness. Yes. We could talk for hours about that.
Yeah. That's not one that I hear very often. Okay. So you're driving from Atlanta to Orlando, which is not too bad of a drive. How long is that?
You know, when I'm driving to Disney, it's about 2.5 hours, but legally it'll take 7. So.
Okay. And you, like, roughly speaking, it's May 16th to the 24th, right?
It is, yes.
Okay, off-site for a day, and then you're at Animal Kingdom Lodge the rest of your trip.
You know what? I made an error. We're actually our last day is the 24th, but we're leaving on the 25th. I'm sorry. I didn't add that last day in.
So. Okay, 16th to the 25th. Okay.
25th, right.
Now, you said your family's going. So who is your family?
My amazing wife. And I say we little one, but he's going to be 13 soon, so he's going to get mad at me when he hears me say that. But our son, our little guy, who's 12 right now, oh, he grows so fast.
No, he's forever going to be your little guy.
Yes. And he hates it when I call him my wee little one, but I do it all the time.
Have you seen the commercial where the car drives up and it's a little girl driving it and then the dad turns around again and it's a grown woman? And it's his kid the whole time, but he views her as a little girl and then he realizes she's grown.
Right in the feels every time.
Every time. Well, see, I have, you know, a 24-year-old, and that is still how it is. She's getting married. She graduated college. She has a career. And still, every time I look at her, I think, how do people not see a little girl when they look at her?
Exactly. I see my little guy, this tiny little fellow who likes to, you know, be picked up and held. And he's taller than I am now, so I can't really pick him up very well. But I try.
He just needs to get used to it. He's forever your little guy. So it's your wife and 13-year-old, almost 13-year-old son.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And something tells me this may not be your first trip.
You know, as a family, this is our fourth trip. And we have learned so much from the very first time that we went as a family to this upcoming trip. And it's really kind of cool to see him grow in pictures, you know, because we always get the photo pass. Mm-hmm. Or no, not photo pass. Is that, am I saying that? It is photo. Okay. Yeah, I always get the names mixed up. So
memory maker is probably what you mean, right?
Memory maker. That's what I'm trying to think. Yes, that's the one. And just to see him grow up, you know, in those photos, is like, oh gosh, it's amazing. So this is our fourth trip as a family.
Okay. So you have some basis, you kind of know how your family likes to do things. And it sounds like you might be the primary planner.
You know, actually my wife was. I get really excited about Disney and I say, well, we should do this and this. And she kind of gives me the side eye. She goes, are you going to help me plan this? Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Of course. You know, so, so I am the enthusiastic one of the family who, you know, gets everyone kind of excited about it. And, but she did a lot of the planning, but, for the last few visits, but this one, we did that together, more together. She has a great way of organizing. And, so I was helping her out with, you know, with the dinner reservations and the fast passes. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. This was a really, I like to think I helped more this time with the planning.
Well, it seems like more and more the trips are requiring a team. So,
oh my goodness, yes. They really are.
Yeah, there's just so much to do all at once. And then these trip dates, how did you decide? Is this an after school year kind of thing?
It is. And we learned something so valuable during our last trip. Because we went around the same time because our son gets out of school. His technically the last day is the 15th. So that week always seems to work really well for us. But what we learned from our last trip was the Friday before Memorial Day, everyone came early and it caught the cast members off guard also. So this time we're changing things up a little bit where our break day is going to be the Friday before Memorial Day. So that way we can still have the parks beforehand and we won't get caught up in the last minute rush of people coming in early.
Right. It's smart to take advantage of your early school year dismissal because
oh, we love it.
Most people are not out quite that early. So this will be a good time, as you already know, because you've done it before. So, all right. So once you get there, you're checked into Animal Kingdom Lodge. Did you say you're headed to Hollywood Studios first?
Yes. And I'm really tickled because I'm a professional photographer and I drive my family completely crazy because I photograph everything. Well, no, let me back up. I don't photograph anything on dark rides. That's my pet peeve when I see a flash go off in the dark rides. Oh, that drives me absolutely crazy.
Kevin, I have to tell you though, Kevin, if they happen to get stuck, then that is your permission to take a picture while you're stuck.
That is in the bylaws of Disney. I think that's subsection 27B on page 48 of the guide.
It is. You just have to hope you get stuck in a good spot.
That's right. Absolutely. So I'm really tickled about that. So I'm just cannot wait to go to Hollywood Studios and just photograph all of, you know, Toy Story Land and get everything. Because we're going to go to the After Hours event. So that way we don't have to rush to get there, but then we could still enjoy, the Toy Story area. We can see it in the daytime, but we can also see it at night, which I'm really excited about, cause I love Hollywood Studios at night. There's just, I don't know. It's just something really, really pretty nice about it.
Yeah, it is pretty lovely. Is Hollywood Studios After Hours on your arrival day?
It is. In fact, we're actually going to be, let's see. So yeah, and on the 17th. So that was one of the reasons why we wanted to stay off property. So we didn't have to get up and rush and try to get over there and not miss anything. So this way we have an opportunity to not necessarily sleep in, but we don't have to wake up so early to feel like we're, you know, we have to rush over there and rush in the park. So that was one of the reasons why we thought, well, let's try doing this after, you know, in the evening hours. So that way we can arrive, say, oh, I don't know, 10 or 11, and then we can just enjoy the park and enjoy the after hours and not have to feel like we're rushed.
Yeah, I love, love, love this plan. And am I correct that this will be your first time in Toy Story Land?
Yes, and I am bursting at the seams because I adore the theming from what I've seen, and I just cannot wait to just like photograph everything. Oh my goodness, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it, especially at night when it's not so hot, because its definite biggest drawback is the heat, and you'll be there at night, so that'll be better.
I'm so glad for that. Because I've just heard it's like on the face of the sun when you're standing out in the middle there.
It is. And I don't feel bad about being dramatic about it because I feel like the more people know it, the more they can be prepared. It's the only time I've ever considered carrying an umbrella to protect me from the sun. It is so intense during the day. But anyway.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's a bit tedious to carry around if you don't, you know, have to. But my gosh, it is worth it in the sun. But you won't have to worry about that on your arrival day. So that's the good news. Okay, so Hollywood Studios After Hours is your arrival day. That's a really mm-hmm. fun way to kick off a trip. I didn't ask you about Animal Kingdom Lodge as a choice, though. Can we go back to that?
Oh, absolutely. So we chose Animal Kingdom Lodge because that's the very first place that we visited on our first visit to Disney as a family. And what we ended up doing this time was we rented Disney Vacation Club points to kind of just check out how are the rooms. And we ended up saving a ton of money, which is not a bad thing. And so we thought, well, let's go back to Animal Kingdom. We really, really, really love it. And we thought, well, why not? And mainly because the beach club was also taken up. So that was our second choice. But it's still a good choice. We like Animal Kingdom Lodge.
And are you renting points this time?
We are, yes. Okay. This will be our first time renting points and kind of seeing how the rooms look and, you know, how – because we were thinking at one point, you know, maybe this will be something that we would like to participate in, meaning the being a – DVC member. So we thought, well, let's rent some points. We'll see what it is. And maybe if we like it, we'll consider it, you know, sometime down the road.
And you're driving to Disney World, so you'll have your own car. So I'll be really curious if you end up using it while staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
We have in the past. Sometimes we'll just decide to drive to like a breakfast or, you know, maybe to a resort to check it out. So we like to have the car. It seems to be really helpful for us. So we don't necessarily have to rely on like Lyft or Uber or the buses. You know, sometimes those can be a little challenging sometimes to make it where you need to be on time.
Yeah, having a car is a nice option. So we'll have to see how you end up getting to places during your trip. Okay, so Hollywood Studios After Hours is your first day, and that is May 17th. How about May 18th?
May 18th, we are going to visit Epcot. That's our second favorite park. My wife and son, well, our son really loves Epcot, and we all enjoy it as well. So Epcot will be our second day.
Okay. And do you have multiple days at Epcot scheduled?
We do. In fact, we are going to be at Epcot on the 18th and then the 21st. And then we also are going to have 2 days at Magic Kingdom. Those will be the 19th and then the 23rd. Animal Kingdom will be the 22nd. And we even have break days on the 20th and then the 24th.
Okay. You went through that so nicely. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I'm making
my day.
Yeah, I am making notes. Okay. So overall, you've got two Epcot days, two Magic Kingdom days, mm-hmm. an Animal Kingdom day, and then your arrival day is Hollywood Studios, and then you have a couple break days. Okay.
We do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Got it. Hollywood Studios is your favorite park. I'm surprised you're not going to be there one more time.
I know. It's like, oh, but I've already made the concession that when I am such a nerd, when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, that's the end of it for me because I have to go see it. I have to stand in the Millennium Falcon so I can go back to my 7-year-old self when I saw A New Hope on screen. And I know the tears are going to be falling. So I'm really excited about that. Oh, my gosh. And it's opening on my birthday. Even though I can't go on my birthday, best birthday gift ever.
So. Oh, Kevin, you're making me excited. I am not the hugest Star Wars fan, but I've always liked the things that they do. I like the music. I like the fireworks. I like the rides. And you make me want to like it even more.
Oh, it's so much fun. I've been told I'm a little energetic when it comes to going to the park. So...
Oh, well, you're talking to the right person right now. Okay, so you mentioned Epcot. You're going to be there on May 18th, and it's your son's favorite. How have you chosen to divide it between your two different days?
You know, this is one of those things where we looked at when the extra hours were going to be, the extra magic hours. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of played it, you know, that way, because we're going to have breakfast on the 18th. So we thought, you know what, we'll have an early breakfast. We actually got this tip from you, where we're going to go to the Garden Grill, eat breakfast, and then snoozle our way over to Soarin' around the world. Mm-hmm. So that way we can get in there before all the crowds do.
So that's a pre-park opening reservation.
It is. Uh-huh.
Well, that's a perfect way to start an Epcot day, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good food, good characters, good ride.
It's going to be amazing.
Well, you're starting your trip off so fun.
It's going to be, I'm like really, you have no idea how I'm bouncing off the walls and how I'm going to interact with the characters. I don't know if we have time for this, but I love meeting characters and I like to do something different every time I meet them. So last time I made magazine covers with the characters to sign. Tiana was on Southern Cooking, Mulan was on Vogue, so on and so forth. This time I have made a file folder, a small one, that looks like it came from the office of S.H.I.E.L.D. and has top secret all over it. You open it up, the left side has the character's description and mission to get their signature. On the right-hand side has them in comic book form that I created. I got the clip art of the characters from the web, but I created a comic book of them. So that way when they sign it, I can give them a button from the comic book cover I made. So I cannot wait to get their reaction for that.
Kevin, you are killing me. That is amazing. Everybody else might think you're over the top, but my mind is blown. I love it. So, in order to make this, you had to have had a pretty good idea of which characters you're going to see. Right. Yeah. So you did it based on like your character meals, any like planned character meet and greets.
Yes. In fact, I just realized that Edna Mode was going to be there. So I had to make something different for her. So I made a GQ cover of her and it's a folder with her fashion icon on it, or her logo rather. So we open it up and her signature will be the approval for the cover. So I'm hoping that she'll be there still when we go. So I cannot wait to see her reaction. I go way overboard.
People listening to this are going to want to know what this file looks like that you created.
Oh, I'll send you pictures of all of them if you'd like.
Yes, please do.
Oh, absolutely. And I also made shirts for each park. One has, I recreated Al's Toy Barn for the Toy Story Hollywood Studios. And I made an ID that says store manager. And so I have one for Edna Mode that's a professional photographer, former cape wearer. So if you'd like, I can send photos of all those ridiculous shirts that I've made with the IDs if you'd like to see those.
Yes, you can send the shirts and you can send, after you get back, pictures from your trip that probably will show
absolutely.
You wearing the shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is fantastic. Okay, so we're off to a good day at Epcot with Garden Grill and probably riding Soarin'. And then, but how have you decided to divide your Epcot days? Like, are you doing Future World one day, World Showcase the next, or a little bit of each on both days?
Yeah, we actually just like to kind of roam around because we're so flexible. So if something is not opened or not working, we just kind of, you know, go to the next thing. We'll, check out like Agent P's Adventure because our son loves doing that. Confession, we all love doing it. And we just like to go from each pavilion and just kind of just check out. Now, even with the Food and Garden, I always get the festivals mixed up.
Flower and Garden.
That mm-hmm. Food and Garden, I guess, was the last one.
Yes, but you know what? There are food booths throughout it. So it should be called Food, Flower, and Garden.
There you go. We need to get to, with Disney and kind of help them straighten them out a little
bit.
Well,
it doesn't roll off the tongue, but that's what it is.
It doesn't, yeah. That's true. You're right. So we like to explore the booths, and we really enjoy doing like the scavenger hunts and kind of going into each pavilion, especially Morocco. Well, that's one of my favorites because it's such a beautiful area. And we just love to roam around and just really enjoy Epcot for everything that it offers. It's just so much fun for us.
But do you have like fast passes made and all that, I assume?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, we sure do. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have fast passes for a couple of things. I can't remember off the top of my head. I always have to go to my phone and double check. But we do have fast passes for another one for Soarin', Mission to Mars, or Mission Space, rather. Mm-hmm. I believe, Test Track, if I recall.
You would have to choose between Soarin' and Test Track. You may have it for, like, one day you have Soarin', the next day you have Test Track.
Yeah, well, I think it's, like, two different days.
Yeah.
I always have to go back and check because I always I'm always thinking about what I'm going to photograph and who I'm going to meet. So I always have to – thank goodness we have it on our phone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no issues when you guys were getting your fast passes for this trip, or did you run into any challenges?
Not really. We actually did really well. What we ended up doing was moving things around a little bit just because we decided that, oh, maybe we'll – you know, the hours for Epcot has – you know, they have magic hours at this time. So we were able to actually rearrange things pretty easily, and it was not hard. It was actually pretty easy. It was very pleasant, actually.
Yeah, most stuff isn't too bad. It's just those really, really competitive, like, fast passes and dining reservations that can be a real challenge. Everything else can be pretty easy.
The dining was a little challenging at some places, but, you know, we all worked it out. Because we're so flexible, you know, if one doesn't work, like, oh, that's fine. Let's go over here instead. So, you know, we just kind of just roll with it. We're not stringent about we have to eat here. We have to do this. And so we find it so much easier if you're just flexible and just enjoy it.
Yeah, a mix of both is ideal, as you may have heard me say a million times, because, you know, if you don't plan at all, you end up waiting in lots of lines and not getting reservations. But if you plan too much, you miss out on lots of special moments. So
that's true. It's all about the balance.
It absolutely is. So you've talked about your Garden Grill reservation. Do you have any other special dining reservations that you want to mention?
Well, we have. This has become a tradition where we go to Chef Mickey's, and I think it's because we like to see the characters. You know, first thing in the morning, it's kind of fun, gets you in the right, you know, moment for, oh, Magic Kingdom is next. Even though the food is, you know, but.
Yeah, it's all about the characters. Are you doing that breakfast on May 19th?
We are. Yeah, that's going to be our breakfast day on the 19th.
Okay, got it. That's a fun one.
It's going to be a blast. Super excited about that one.
Yeah, no special riding privileges after eating at Chef Mickey's, but
that's right. Exactly.
You can walk on over to Magic Kingdom, though.
It's always good to walk off to breakfast.
That's right. Okay, what else do you have reserved for dining?
Let's see. Now, on our break day, we have Chef Art Smith, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Chef Art Smith's Homecoming, I believe, at Disney Springs.
Okay.
And we're even going to try Beaches and Cream. This will be our first time there, so that's going to be really fun.
Also on your break day?
On our break day, yes, sorry.
Okay, so Beaches and Cream is at the Beach Club. So do you have some time that you're just going to, like, spend on the boardwalk that day, or what are your plans for your break day?
We're actually going to kind of just go to Beaches and Cream. We're talking about maybe some miniature golfing, archery. So I think we're going to do a couple of things that day. So that's going to be really fun.
It's a non-park day.
Exactly. Yes. We're just going to hang out and just kind of recoup from the previous days. Give our feet a little bit of a rest.
Good. And what else do you have planned?
Let's see. I know. Oh, one of the big things, this is not dinner or breakfast, but we are going to book Marceline to Main Street, or no, Marceline to Magic Tour.
Yeah, Marceline to Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. I see. I'm so bad with names. I'm terrible with
that's
it.
That's my job.
That's right. We're doing that on the 23rd. And what we're also doing is, now this is going to be one of those days where we're going to go on that tour. We're going to maybe ride a couple things here and there. Then we're going to go back to the hotel, take a little nap, because we're actually going to do the after hours event at Magic Kingdom that night also. We're packing in a lot of stuff on this trip.
Yeah, but you know what? It's good stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, you just feel like you have the park to yourself.
Oh, yeah. This is, like, if you're going to choose special things, to me, you're choosing the right ones. So
we really want to do something different. Something fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. All right. What other dining reservations? Because you've mentioned a few.
Yes. Yeah, so we are also going to, if I believe, and my calendar is just taking forever to come up, on the 19th, which is going to be our Magic Kingdom Park Day, we're going to have lunch at Skipper Cantina. Mm-hmm. So Love that. That was a really, really great place. We really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Now on Epcot on the 21st, we're going to actually just try out the booths, the food booths. We thought that would be really kind of a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Kind of check that out. On the 22nd, we have dinner reservations at Rainforest Cafe at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
And then let's see. We also have, I'm always trying to remember, I'm going by memory, which is not a healthy thing to do for me, because I'm always getting things like goofed up, and my wife will say, no, no, we're doing the other thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I think for Thursday, I think we're going to try a couple quick services. I do not remember if we have reservations then. But on one of the Epcot days, we do have dinner reserved for Rose and Crown.
Okay.
We're going to try that in the evening hours to see maybe if we're lucky enough to get on the balcony so we can watch the,
Illuminations.
Illuminations. Thank you. See, this is terrible. I should know this. My goodness. And since we've seen it so many times, this will be kind of like our farewell to that since they are taking that away.
Yes.
And replacing it with something else. So that'll be kind of interesting to see what they come up with because I'm sure it'll be amazing.
Yeah. And it's good dinner, good food. So can't go wrong. Are you on the dining plan?
We are. And we decided to go with, not the deluxe because that was so much food last time. I think it was too much food for us. So we just went with the one right below the deluxe.
The regular one.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that worked out well.
Yeah. And your food booth day, you might be able to use up some of those snack credits.
Yes, because I think we're going to, there's a couple things that we really want to try, and we thought, well, that's perfect. We'll use our snack credits. We don't have to, you know, worry about paying out of pocket. Because last time we had so many snack credits. I swear we brought home what seemed like a million of those rice treats, mm-hmm. the Mickey ear rice treats. Those were amazing. Don't get me wrong, but you know, we're trying not to bring home half of Goofy Candy Shop with us when we come back.
Yeah, and it's a better bang for your buck to eat at the food booths with your snack credits because it can be like $5 or more for some of those items. That's the best use of a snack credit.
I agree. And it's something you can just try. You know, you don't feel like you lost anything if you didn't like the food.
Yes, exactly. No pressure. And then you mentioned Memory Maker earlier, so I'm guessing that you've got that, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's going to be great.
So you're going to have all of your own photos plus the Memory Maker photos, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
So do you take a DSLR camera into the park?
I do. And what's so funny is that I try to make the interactions with the characters fun. And I have to tell you what happened with Baymax last time because this was it couldn't have worked out better. So I have my DSLR camera and I said to Baymax, I said to the attendant, can I take a picture of Baymax? She goes, of course. And I said, Baymax, I'm going to take some photos of you. So you just be you. And I started taking pictures and Baymax started to turn like he was in a fashion show. And he walked over to that big armored arm and leaned on it. And it was the best thing ever. Everyone was laughing. The cast member said, I've never seen anything like that before. They were having a great time. So I love kind of having those moments where, you know, everyone can enjoy it. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to capture some of those too.
Yeah, that's incredible. These days, people don't walk around with DSLRs as much as they used to because I think people are using their phones. So I'm just always actually interested in like the logistics of the camera because it's an extra thing that you have to carry, you know, go through security and take on rides and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I do. This time I'm only taking two lenses. Last time I took way more than that and my shoulder really felt it. So this time I'm only taking two lenses, which is an 85 millimeter wide angle lens and a 300 millimeter lens where I can zoom in to capture something that may be a little bit further away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can't wait to see your pictures.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Is there anything planned for your trip that you haven't had a chance to mention yet?
Let's see. Only that I'm really excited to talk with Mulan. She inspired me to – it's a really long story, but she was so kind and so nice to me that she really changed the way that I thought about myself. And so I wanted to go back and just tell her how much that she's affected me in a positive way. So I'm really excited about that.
Nice. Well, you'll have some Epcot time to find her and do that, right?
Absolutely. And I'm so excited because I'm a grown man and I have a Mulan phone case and, you know, the Magic Band is Mulan. I love Mulan. So I have no problem sporting my love for Mulan.
I love that you love Mulan.
She's amazing.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't wait to talk to you when you get back. I think you have a lot of good plans and I'm sure you'll have fun.
But, yes, thank you.
And we'll get to hear about it in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Looking forward to sharing it with you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Kevin.
Well, thank you.
I am happy to talk to you. I loved our pre-trip chat, so I can't wait to hear how your trip went. But we are talking on June 4th, so you've been back now for more than a week.
Yes, and the whole back to reality thing is I'm still not digging that at all. So I'm I want to be back at Disney.
Yeah, it's like a part-time job before you go, right? And then you go, and then you don't know what to do with your time.
Right, exactly. It's like, well, now what do? I just sit here and kind of think. Exactly. It's hard. It's definitely not easy.
There are a few things in that category, I think, like playing a wedding. You know, there's so much buildup, then you do it, and then what?
And then, right. So, it's like when you're finished with school, you're like, okay, now what happens?
Exactly, exactly. Oh, we should all think ahead. What am I going to do when this big thing is over with? All right. So you told us beforehand that you were going to be there May 16th to the 25th and that you were driving from Atlanta. So let's start walking through your trip. First of all, how was your drive from Atlanta to Orlando?
It was actually really nice. That was probably one of the best drives that we've had that I can remember. No traffic or very minimal traffic. We were able to get to the offsite hotel, which was actually a good neighbor hotel, which was really, really cool. Because when we walked in, because I wasn't familiar with the Good Neighbor Hotel, I didn't really know what that was. And I walked in and there's so much Disney theming, and even in the elevators, they had the Toy Story aliens. And I thought, this is a really cool hotel. And then Alexa said, no, this is a Good Neighbor hotel. And, you know, we were talking about all the benefits of it. So you can, you know, rest your head at night and still order, or rather obtain your fast passes. And what was so nice, though, was that the buffet included Mickey waffles. So what a great way to start the Disney trip and then to have the option of the standard Mickey waffles, or you could make the large one if you wanted to have that. So that was really, really cool.
So people are going to wonder which Good Neighbor Hotel did you stay at?
This was, I want to say it was the Springfield.
Spring Hill.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of the Good Neighbor hotels have like on-site benefits. The Disney World hotels have been filling up because it is a very popular place. And so they can't keep up with the demand with their own hotels. So they have some off-site hotels that have some on-site perks, like 60 days out, you can get the fast passes. And a lot of them have those like ticket desks that you can go, right? So there's like a lot of Disney stuff around, even though it's not a Disney hotel. So I think that's what you're talking about. We have a lot of overflow. We need to put people somewhere. So that's a great option. Beautiful. So you started there and you got the Mickey waffles, right?
Yes. Well, John got the Mickey waffles. I almost did, but I thought, you know what? I'll reserve that for the parks. And one of the things that happened, this is one of those kind of like, oh my gosh moments. You know, there's always a story of something that happens on vacation. And what was so funny was when we were taking some of the luggage out, just because it was only going to be for one night, I had my, what I like to call my tech bag, where I have my notebook and all my other gadgets and things in there. Well, I thought my son John, or our son John, picked it up, and he thought I picked it up. So it wasn't anywhere. It just kind of disappeared. And I thought, didn't find out until much later in the evening that the bag wasn't in the room. Went to the car, didn't have it, and thank goodness there was someone who turned the bag in because they had it in lost and found behind the desk. And I had to breathe this huge sigh of relief because my computer was in there and all my tech stuff was in there. So whoever returned the bag, thank you. So that was kind of an interesting start, but everything was fine from that point forward.
Well, good. Get that out of the way.
Yes.
So for your offsite day, did you, you didn't have any onsite plans, right?
No, we just went to, we kind of just roamed the area a little bit. We went to the outlet center, the Disney outlet shop rather. Then we went to Disney Springs to kind of look around and didn't really do much. We just kind of just settled in just so that way we could get up the next day and then head over to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay. It's just a place to sleep for the night.
Yeah, that's all. For just, the most part. To get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it made sense for us to – because we wanted to go and so we didn't have to want to drive to Orlando and then try to go to a park because we'd only get there for maybe half the day. We might miss something. We would be tired. So we thought – you know, we'll just rest our head for the night. We'll get up early. Then we'll head over to the Disney Hotel, and then we can go, you know, roam the parks or do what we had planned.
Right. So talk to us about Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. This was the first place that we visited as a family together way back in 2006. I mean, it just gets more beautiful every time you go. We were in Jumbo House, and I just can't even begin to express if you haven't been there, meaning, you know, the listeners, you have to at least go by and check it out. Absolutely beautiful. They even had someone who was doing wood carvings every so often. And if you walk outside to see the animals, you know, there are people out there with different activities. And our room actually had a partial savannah view. So it was wonderful. You could open the door and sit on the balcony and watch some animals come by every so often, and it was absolutely amazing.
Okay,
just incredible.
So that partial savannah view that you just said, people are going to wonder, did you pay for a standard room and then ended up with the partial savannah view?
We did. In fact, we received an upgrade, which really surprised us, and it was so nice that was offered to us. We're like, and the guy, the cast member was saying that, you know, how you doing? We're just chatting. He goes, you know, I think I might have something for you. And I thought, that's so nice. So that was a really, really nice surprise.
Yes. I think most of their rooms there are Savannah. So if you book standard, sometimes you have that option to be magically upgraded. But
Beautiful.
I'm always quick to say, don't expect it. Don't expect it. I can't stand people that feel entitled. But when it does happen, it's amazing.
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're at Animal Kingdom Lodge and you're checked in. How, like, in general, how did you feel about how this time of year was for you to visit?
You know, what's funny is that at the beginning of the week, it wasn't as hot as it was towards the end of the week. I do not do well in extreme heat. And at the beginning of the week, it was warm, but it wasn't horribly hot. And if you were in the shade, everything was fine. But later in the week, oh my gosh, it really, really got hot. And I don't remember it ever getting that hot this time of year. Because when we were there, it reached up to 95 or 96 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really hot towards the end of the week. But the beginning was fine. It was great, actually.
Yeah, so the end of your trip was the beginning of mine. And
oh, you got the heat.
And ooh, so yeah. I felt like I was being whiny, but I've been there 10 times during this time of year. So I am here to confirm it was extra, extra, extra hot.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It was like standing on the face of the sun at one point. I mean, my goodness.
It was. There's a big difference between 90 and 105. And some days that's what the heat index was. 90's hot enough, but 105, that's just a whole other level.
Yeah, and you just can't drink enough water. I mean, there's just no possible way because you're constantly drink it, but yet it just evaporates the moment it hits your lips. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
So hot.
Yes. Yes. But the beginning of your trip wasn't like that. How did you feel about the crowds during your trip?
Crowds actually were not bad. And I think that also has to attribute with, you know, we're just so flexible. So if we see something that's really busy at the time, we'll just come back to it. So I think that also has something to do with it. Now, there were some crowds that were a little bit heavier in some areas of parks. Like, for example, Epcot seemed a little bit busier at times. But overall, it really didn't seem that awful. The crowd seemed very manageable.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It was nice.
You told us beforehand that on your first day, which was May 17th, your first on-site day, May 17th, yes, you were going to Hollywood Studios After Hours. So was that the first, yes, thing that you did on-site?
We did. In fact, we checked our luggage with guest services or baggage service, mm-hmm, and we hung around the hotel for a little while thinking that sometimes they might say, oh, your room is ready, but we waited, kind of walked around for a couple hours and kind of waited, well, not a couple hours, maybe like an hour, 90 minutes. And then we decided just to head on over to Hollywood Studios. So we took the bus over to Hollywood Studios. And then when we received the notice, Alexis actually went back and met someone to get the luggage while John and I went to different things in Hollywood Studios. So that worked out pretty well.
That did work out. So how did you like Hollywood Studios After Hours?
Well, what was nice was during our first conversation, you know, I was saying that it would take hours to explain why I love Hollywood Studios so much. And while we still had a great time, the park didn't seem like the same park I fell in love with. It still was a lot of – there was something missing. And then I started realizing, you know, like the behind the scenes, the performers, you know, the costumes, the hair, the cars, all of that was actually gone. A lot of stores were closed, so it didn't feel like the same Hollywood Studios, but that didn't take away from the fun. The After Hours event was pretty great because Alexis went on the Tower of Terror for her first time, and that was an absolute riot to see the picture because you could tell who's been on it before, and then there's poor Alexis, you know, right at the front. It was pretty great. And so I was able to ride Tower of Terror multiple times, the Rock and Roller Coaster, and John and Alexis don't really like those super fast rides, so we were able to balance it out by going to the Muppets, and then we spent a lot of time in Toy Story Land, which was really fun and absolutely beautiful at night. And the big joke was that Toy Story Land was built closer to the sun.
Yes.
I mean, it's just so hot in Toy Story. But it's absolutely beautiful at night. The theming is incredible. And speaking of, I meant to tell you that I met Edna, mm-hmm, and she loved that the autograph, mm-hmm, page I made. And she was trying to keep it to put it on her wall. So that was a big success. She really loved that. That was really fun. And it was just a blast. And in fact, the Al's Toy Barn shirt that I made was such a hit with the cast members that we were striking up conversations about, so how are things at the store? And, well, after the incident, you know, we're starting to get back on our feet. And Woody saw me with my badge of employment, and he kind of made his way around me a little bit, kind of giving me the side eye a little bit. So it was terrific.
That's really cute. You said a couple things that I think are important to point out. One is that After Hours has a different feel, which, yes, I think is absolutely the case. So I really do love After Hours for the ability to go on rides. Lots and lots and lots of rides, but it definitely does change the feel of the park. It's not as alive.
Right. Yeah. It definitely felt different. I mean, and we ended up going a little bit earlier in the afternoon, so we got to go, you know, check out Indiana Jones, and we got to spend some time during daylight hours. But I was just surprised in how many stores were closed and just the lack of performers and the lack of cars. Well, they did have the tow truck, which is really cool at the very front, but it definitely seemed like a different vibe. And then I realized that it's not behind the scenes anymore. Now you're being immersed. So that's the change in my head I have to come to terms with, because I was so used to behind the scenes. And that's one of the things I just love, the creativity, the engineering, you know, all the fun things that go behind making a production.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. And then And then Toy Story Land at night. Yeah, that's another thing I was going to mention. It's just, it's a much better place to be at night.
Definitely. Yes. Oh, and it was nice and comfortable and hot. It wasn't humid. It was just really, really nice. And we actually rode the Swirling Saucers multiple times. That was a big hit with us. We loved that. That was so much fun. And John loved it. He just went on that. He just wanted to keep going on it. And it was so much fun. We had a great time in there. And just the little details of the theming is fantastic. You know, I always recommend take your time and look at everything, because there's these little things that you might not notice unless you're kind of taking your time and really just taking in all that's around you.
What you just said about your son loving it and going on it over and over again is definitely a perk of a party like that, because normally, yeah. You know, you would, if you know, have a touring plan and you would do it at this time of day, and you wouldn't necessarily have the flexibility to ride it again without a long wait. So the ability to do it over and over again is a huge, huge perk. So that's really nice. So, okay. So that was the way to kick off your trip, I guess. Good way.
It was perfect. You couldn't ask for anything else, anything better. It was just a lot of fun. And excuse me, there was actually something that was really surprising to me. When we went to the Muppets 3D, we, you know, decided, oh, let's go into the gift shop. And I was very surprised to see the 30th anniversary of Hollywood Studios merchandise. I thought, wow, it's still here. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to pick up a few things, which was wonderful. I didn't think it was going to be there, but I got lucky. There was a couple of things I really wanted, and they actually had it. So I was so happy about that.
Yeah, Disney can draw out an anniversary if they really want to. I expect the upcoming 50th anniversary to last a whole year, because that's what they did at Disneyland for the 60th. So
I'm really looking forward to that. Cool. That is going to be amazing.
Yes, me too. So I assume that was probably the end of May 17th for you, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so you told us beforehand that May 18th was going to be at your son's favorite, Epcot, starting with a Garden Grill breakfast before the park opens.
Oh, what a great breakfast. Oh my gosh, the cinnamon roll was like this gigantic thing. And I kind of joked saying, well, is that all of it? And they were kind of looking at me like, what are you, nuts? But it was so big. It was like a meal by itself. And then they brought out everything else. And it was one of the best breakfasts I think we've had in, you know, it's so, so good. And the characters were so kind and very playful, and everything was just nice. I highly recommend, you know, eating there in the morning, especially because afterwards we finished right before the park opened, and we just made our way down to Soarin' and just walked all the way through the queue. There was only a small handful of us, and we got to be able to sit right in the middle of Soarin'. And it was like the best, perfect view. There was hardly anyone there. So that was just wonderful. Talk about a great way to start the morning.
Absolutely. The most magical way to start an Epcot day, if you ask me. Good food, good character interactions, yes. And walk right on a great ride. I mean, that's a great combo. So
it was fantastic.
Walked right onto Soarin'. And then I know that you probably did lots of things at Epcot, but you told us that you really liked Mulan, and she is there.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful moment. I adore Mulan more than anything. And I made a shirt that had her, like her, you know, her silhouette, if you will, but different, like in different colors. And and I had the magic band, and she's on my, you know, anyway, I just, it's pretty obvious if you saw me that day, it's like, who's your favorite character? You know, it would stand out. We had the nicest conversation, and it was a little emotional. And I explained to her that, you know, that she inspired me to, you know, to lose weight, and I still keep doing it. And it was just such a wonderful moment. And she was so kind and so supportive. And she was just amazing, just absolutely amazing. And I was I'm so happy it was outside, because the light is better outside for photography. And I was able to capture several photos of her, which really showed off the colors of her beautiful dress. And it was just amazing. I mean, yeah, she's just beyond incredible.
I'm glad it lived up to your expectations then. And I think you bring up a good point too about how the characters in the World Showcase are outside, because not only are they in the sunlight instead of fluorescent lights or whatever, but the backdrop for those pictures are so much better than if you were just against a wall, because Mulan's right there in front of the China Pavilion. So it's beautiful setting.
Wonderful. It really is. And the contrast between her background and her dress, it just was, you couldn't ask for anything better. It was perfect.
Good. What else did you want to mention about your Epcot day? Your first Epcot day, I should say.
First Epcot day. Well, one thing that when we went on Mission to Mars, Alexis and John wanted to do the green, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to check out the orange because I heard the same as the old green. And, you know, I'm not as young as I think I am sometimes. And, well, and I normally don't get sick. And it was – the video was the same, but I – when you take off in the rocket, you feel those G's, and you can actually feel your face being pushed backwards. Mm-hmm. And I swear, I thought I was having a heart attack for a second there because my chest was so heavy. I thought, oh, great, I'm going to die at Disney. And then I thought, well, that's not so bad, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so and I couldn't believe it. And so after the ride was over and I just kind of looked, and I just don't get seasick, if you will, or car sick. Yeah, no, I did there. And so, yeah, I'm staying away from the orange from this point forward because that was really something.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It can hit you at any time. Like these side effects of these rides, it can change so much.
Oh,
yeah,
crazy.
So a little warning for the listeners about about the intense version of Mission Space.
Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot. We did have dinner at Rose and Crown, and we were lucky enough to have seating right in front of Illuminations. And that was absolutely amazing to have dinner, and then you could see the show right there. And it was just fantastic. So that was really, really nice that we were able to sit and watch that show while we had dinner.
So that wasn't the – you didn't book the Illuminations package for that? That was just a happy coincidence?
That was a happy coincidence. The goal was trying to have dinner around the same time and seeing that maybe if we had an opportunity to sit in your window. And we were just kind of – I was just – well, I've been told I never met a stranger. And so I was talking with some friends well, now I call them friends, just cast members working there. And I was noticing that one of them lives in the same area as a good friend of mine, which is Manchester. We were striking up a conversation, and all of a sudden afterwards we were placed in this really nice seating. So I thought that was really, really nice. So it was another magical moment that was not expected.
Fantastic. That's the best way. You're putting out good energy, Kevin.
Yes, I'm trying so hard. And then I have to be pulled back in because I'm told I talk too much sometimes. So,
well, in the setting that you and I are in right now, that's perfect.
Perfect.
We need you to talk. Is there anything else on this first Epcot day that you wanted to mention?
You know, everything was just so much fun. We just had a great time just checking out Soarin'. We went on Soarin' a few times. We went on, a couple other things. We kind of focused on a few areas in World Showcase, but mostly around Future World, because the second day of Epcot, we ended up spending more time in the World Showcase, which was really fun too.
Okay, so we will get to that in a few days of as we move through your schedule. Your next day, as I recall, was Magic Kingdom, starting with breakfast at Chef Mickey's.
Yes, and we took our very first lift, because we didn't want to rely on the buses, just because even though the buses have been fairly reliable, just the time that, you know, we're like, oh, we were out late, you know, we didn't want to miss the bus or miss our reservation. So we actually got a lift, and our driver, Ali, was amazing. We got there right on time, and it was really fun to see the characters, and they have updated chef outfits now. They're much brighter, and they look really cool. We enjoyed the Chef Mickey's when we got there in time for rope drop. So that was actually really nice. So we were able to do that. And that was actually really, really fun.
And did you walk from the Contemporary over to Magic Kingdom?
We took the monorail, actually, because that was just kind of like a fun thing to do. It's like, you know, we'll just take the monorail. It's really quick, but it was something kind of fun, and it was kind of nice to do that. And in fact, the shirt that I made John with the monorail, I couldn't have picked a better color for the stripe because we rode the blue monorail, which was the same as a shirt. So I thought, something's going right today. So that was just actually one of those just funny coincidences. But yeah, we had a great time just taking a quick ride on the monorail.
Yeah, I think it's a good reminder too to people that if you want to ride the monorail but you're not staying on the monorail, you might want to intentionally look for reasons to ride it. Like, you guys were at the Contemporary and a monorail goes right there. So, because a lot of times I think it's hard when little kids see it, they think it's like a ride. But if you haven't planned on going on it, you know, you may never board. So, you know, you can,
that's true.
You can take a twirl around the, you know, Magic Kingdom area resorts if you want to, but it is a ride to many kids, especially, and to me. I really like it too.
Me too. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. So you've made your way to Magic Kingdom before park opening, on the monorail. And then how did things go?
It went really, really well. We were able to walk right on the Haunted Mansion, which is, well, it's my favorite ride. And I think it's Alexis's favorite ride. John kind of is, you know, in the middle right now between different rides. But we loved it how we were just able to walk right up to it. We were able to get right on. And that was fantastic. So we ended up really enjoying that because I couldn't believe how quickly we got on. Because usually at the park opening, everyone is, you know, kind of rushing over. And we were thinking that everyone was either going to Space Mountain or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Because even when we came out, there wasn't that much of a crowd at Haunted Mansion at the time. So that worked out really well for us.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that I said hello to Tiana because I was looking for her autograph. So while I met Tiana, John and Alexis went on the teacups. And then, pirates, and then they went on the teacups. And Tiana, who is just so great, she's so sassy, and I just love her. Where she was, you know, holding this top secret file, she's opening up saying, "Look, everyone, my top secret file." And I said, "Tiana, you're not supposed to say it like that." And she says, "Hey, look, y'all, my top secret file." So she was like, "Oh, Tiana." So she was just terrific. And so after I had a chance to meet her, and I said hello to Rapunzel, who was just wonderful, we actually just kind of went on everything. You know, we went on Buzz and the People Mover, Carousel Progress. Mm-hmm. The Jungle Cruise was absolutely a riot. We sat up right up front, and I love puns. I mean, I they're just great. I just love a good pun or a bad pun. You know, they hold equal value to me. And sometimes when I start laughing really hard, I snort. And I was doing a lot of that. And so I was made captain of the ship, of the boat. And that was actually really kind of funny. So the cast member and I were hitting it off pretty well. So he made me, yeah.
I'm sure the skipper appreciated that because sometimes they play to kind of a dead crowd who doesn't understand.
Yeah, I was probably the loudest laugher of the group. So, yeah, there were some really bad ones. But it was great, though. Bad puns, but they were still fantastic.
And while you were over there, is that when you headed to Skipper Canteen for lunch?
We did, and that was fantastic. That was a really good lunch. And our server was just as clever with the puns. And you could kind of tell that they were sick of saying it, but, you know, but when I started giggling a little bit, I think that kind of like, oh, okay, here's someone who actually appreciated it. Yeah. So you could just tell that, you know, they were like, okay, I got to say this. And, you know, I think that some of the people may not have appreciated as much as I did, but I let them know that that was pretty good.
Yeah. But it's great to have that extension of a ride at the restaurant, like, you know, Jungle Cruise, then go Skipper Canteen, and it's fun and it's good food. And yeah.
It's the best. It was the absolute best. And the person who was seating the guests was absolutely hysterical. And I looked at Alexis and I said, you know, I could work here and be happy. And she just kind of just went, oh, boy. So
you could. That would be perfect for you.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I think that would be a blast.
Yeah, add that to add that to your future plans right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that was lunch. How did your Magic Kingdom day progress?
You know, we actually just ended up doing a lot of walking around and kind of, you know, looking at different things. And John really wanted to play the
Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. Oh, I did have it right. And so he really loves doing that. We all like doing that. That was a lot of fun. The only thing that held me back was I was wearing a bad pair of shoes the first day, and I thought they were going to work out. Thank goodness I had a second pair. But I had blisters on my feet already from the extreme heat. So I sat down for a time or two where they were kind of hopping around from different parts of the section of this particular game. But we still had a great time, and I ended up enjoying everything. I think everyone had a great time because we went around to different areas. We rode the People Mover a couple of times and Pirates, which was always fun. And I don't know if it's just me or if I just don't remember, but it seems like the Pirate, when you're going down and has that drop, it seems like it's longer or higher and longer when the boat goes down that ramp. I don't remember it being as high, but it was a blast. It was really kind of cool.
I think the ramp is the same.
Is it the same?
Yeah.
Probably my bad memory. Okay. It just seemed faster or something. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been on it in, you know, so long that I just forgot, but it was an absolute riot. Loved it.
Good. And I know that later in the week you have plans to stay late at Magic Kingdom. So on this day, did you stay late or did you head back?
We stayed for a little while. In fact, if I remember correctly, I believe we stayed probably, I think towards the evening. Yeah, we spent a good part of the day there, if I remember correctly.
But not through fireworks.
Not through fireworks, no.
Okay. No,
we didn't.
So that was your Sunday, May 19th. And yep. You told us beforehand that you had planned on Monday, May 20th being a break day and with some meals, on-site meals included in the process. Is that how it ended up going?
It did. In fact, the first thing we did was we went to Fantasia Gardens and played mini golf. Had a great time. That was a lot of fun.
And FYI to people listening, that's located near the Swan and Dolphin.
Yes, and you can even see the Tower of Terror in the background, which was kind of cool. So that was kind of fun to see that. Then we went to Art Smith's at Disney Springs and had an amazing, absolutely hands down amazing lunch.
At homecoming.
Yes, is it Art Smith's homecoming? Is that the?
Yeah.
I never can remember the whole name. I'm always bad with names.
Homecoming with an apostrophe on the end, I think.
It was so good. Oh my gosh, it was absolutely amazing.
Did you have chicken? Is that what you ordered?
Yes, I had the chicken and it was so good. Oh my gosh. Just thinking about it, I'm getting hungry because it was absolutely amazing. And our server was just phenomenal. I mean, I want to go back, and I was trying to figure out a way to go back down. My parents live not far from Orlando. And I thought, you know, we could go back and see Mom and Dad. Let's make a quick stop at Disney Springs and just go get the chicken dish and then go say hello to them. You know, so,
yes.
It was just that good. And we ended up kind of just walking around Disney Springs for a little bit. And we even ended up we spent some of the day because we just kind of wanted to rest because, you know, the heat was starting to start to happen. And so we ate, we walked around a little bit, and then we went back to the hotel to kind of just rest and relax. And Alexis, who is just the most amazing person ever, actually did a little laundry for John and I, which was a great benefit because the laundry room was just down the hall from our room. So that worked out really, really well. That was a nice perk to have the laundry right there.
Absolutely. And when it's hot, you do end up doing more laundry. I did on my trip too. I don't do it on every trip, but I did on last trip. You burn through so many clothes so fast.
Oh, Good use of the word burn. Yeah, absolutely.
Burn, sweat, burn. Yeah.
You feel like you're on fire at some point of the day.
Yeah, sometimes you can rewear clothes if it's not hot. You know, like rewear a pair of jeans or whatever it is that you're wearing. Not this time of year.
Not even a little bit.
So you mentioned before your trip that you may have dinner in a restaurant. So did you go out to eat that night too?
You know, we actually went in at quick service at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And we just had like something real quick. I'm trying to remember what we had, but we did eat at the hotel. There's that quick service that they have there that we went to. And it wasn't too bad, actually. The pricing was fairly reasonable, if I remember correctly.
You're on the dining plan too, right?
We are. So that really made a big difference with a lot of things.
Yeah. So the pricing doesn't matter as long as the credits are, you know, included.
Because I kind of looked at because I was looking at the table service. You know, when they give you the check and they see how much it is, I'm like, really? That much for Mickey waffles? Okay. But the dining plan makes such a big difference that it's nice to be able to select something and not have to worry, you know, do I have enough for this? And so dining plan was perfect for us.
Yeah, you just pick whatever you want. Okay, so after your out-of-the-park day, non-park day, you were headed back to Epcot the next day, I believe, for the 21st, Tuesday. And you mentioned that you were going to do a lot of World Showcase, including the food booths that were part of Flower and Garden Festival.
Yes, and it was so nice because we ended up doing a couple of different rides because at the beginning there wasn't that many people around. So we went on Living with the Land, and we went on Finding Nemo, and then we were able to use our Fast Pass for Soarin' and Spaceship Earth, and we went back to Mission to Mars, and I only did the green. So that was a big laugh for the family. They're like, okay. But something happened, and I didn't it was something strange was happening because people kept coming up to me asking me questions like, hey, where can I find this? Where can I find this? And, you know, I just by automatic, I use a Disney point for everything. And just me being me, you know, I'm always given the upbeat answer and, you know, just being as friendly as I can and helpful. And then I realized why at the eighth time I thought, why are people asking me so many questions? And then I realized that the shirt that I made has Epcot on it, and my badge says, you know, World Showcase Greeter, but it has that goofy picture. But I realized the badge looked a little too real, we think. So I took it off immediately, and then no one asked me questions after that. I think people thought I actually worked there. And so I thought, oh, no.
But you had badges every day, right?
I did. And most of them were just like, you know, just goofy things, you know, like with the other Epcot was, you know, Mulan's restaurant. And I had, you know, head best boy, bus boy and fighter of the Hun, you know. So I think the one that I made for the second day, I think it looked a little too official because even though the picture, you could see my picture, I was making a goofy face, but I don't think people saw that. And so I had to take the thing off and just kind of go without it for the rest of the day. But the second I took it off, no one asked me any more questions. So I hope I did Disney proud, you know, making their guests happy.
Yeah, answering the questions. But I think smart move taking it off because they definitely don't want you imitating the cast members.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So lesson learned. It looked a little too real. So now I know for next time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But God. In between all the questions, you made your way through the park.
We did, and we ended up – I went back to John wanted to play the Agent P game, which is really, really fun. A lot of things have changed. If you have listeners who played it once, there are some things that have been updated, so that was really kind of fun. We went to actually every pavilion. He ended up playing it, and it was so much fun. We all had fun with that, so that was really nice. And we started in Mexico, and then we went to China, and then we just kind of made our way around, which was really, really fun to do. So that was just a blast.
You've mentioned Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom and Agent P, and I'm going to link to those in the show notes because those are both scavenger hunt type things that kids in particular often enjoy because it gives them something to search for, something to do, and can make the World Showcase in particular a lot more fun. So if anybody else is interested, I'll link to that so you might plan it for your trip. But you were doing this World Showcase during the day, right?
Yes, and that's when the heat really started to be noticeable. because it's just a hot park, I think, in general. And when you can find shade, you're fine. But it's that open area between Germany and Japan where just that large open space. Mm-hmm. And it gets to be really, really hot. So we made some, walked into some stores to try to get cooled off a little bit, and Agent P helped with that. You know, we walked in some areas and looked for certain things and clues and whatnot, which really helped. And there was one thing that we went to, we kind of just walked, we just explored just to try to find ways to cool down a little bit. And what was nice was we went into Morocco, and this was getting towards the evening hours because they had extra magic hours, so we were still exploring. And there is a museum in Morocco that I don't think people know that is actually there. And, these two big, beautiful doors, and there's a sign right above it, which I cannot remember the name right off the top of my head. But you just walk in, and there are some beautiful, beautiful things to look at. And it's nice and air conditioned, mm-hmm. So it's a great place to get away. If you maybe you don't want to be around the crowds, and crowds don't really bother me, but John and Alexis would sometimes just like to get away from the crowds, and so we went in there, and it was just gorgeous, really, really beautiful. Morocco itself, I think, doesn't really get a whole lot of attention. So I always recommend just go in and explore, just check it out, especially towards just as things are starting to get dark, because some of the stores have these beautiful lamps and there are fountains that light up, and it is just a feast for the eyes, especially if you enjoy photography. Oh my gosh, it is wonderful to photograph.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And Agent P's adventure and the Kidcot stations are a fantastic way to force yourself deep into these countries, because you really have to look for, the spots that you're supposed to be in, and it forces you to really look at everything in detail that you might have just walked past, on a normal
day. That's so true, day. Yes.
I also, you were talking about going from air conditioned spot to air conditioned spot, and I always call those lily pads of air conditioning. I want to jump from one to the next because it is not comfortable to be out in the heat for very long. So it's like gift shop to restaurant to gift shop to restaurant to restroom. You kind of have to do that in the World Showcase.
You have to. You won't survive if you don't. You got to find that lily pad of happiness. You really do.
That's right. Stay cool, everybody. Absolutely. Because I know we're sort of joking around and stuff, but there were people being taken out on stretchers during this time because the heat had gotten so intense. So it is no joke to stay hydrated and cool. Did you end up having dinner at a restaurant that night, or did eat at the food booth? What did you end up doing?
It actually, we got a quick service in France, and Alexis tried a lot of the booths. It's funny that you're mentioning people getting carried out. I think at that point I started to feel like I was getting heat stroke or something. So I ended up not eating as much as I thought I would. But she did a lot of food booths, and we did have the quick service in France, which was really, really good. And it was really nice, but I didn't explore the food booths as much as I wanted to. But the one that stood out was the Frushi. That was really, really good.
Which is in Japan.
In Japan, yes. And it's just really clever. Yeah, it's really, really good. It's just all this wonderful fruit. And normally I would take some, but the heat, I think, was really getting to me because I just kept drinking water constantly, but it didn't seem to help. So we ended up getting a quick service in the America Pavilion and then a quick service in France. So kind of like that lily pad, like you were saying, we really kind of explored. Japan was wonderful for that because we went through that department store that they have there. And that was really kind of nice to take a minute and just breathe. Mm-hmm. relax and take a little bit of a break. It was nice.
One thing I learned on my last trip is if water doesn't seem to be satiating you, or like, you know, you don't feel renewed by it, Heather has these powder packs of Pedialyte. And so she was adding that to our water so that we get all those electrolytes back.
That's a great idea. Oh, I'm going to do that for next time, because yeah. I was just guzzling down the Powerade like it was going out of style. And that's a great idea. I'm writing that down right now, actually. That's genius.
I didn't even know Pedialyte in powder packets was a thing, but it's super portable, yeah. Because you can just put it in your water bottle. So easy, easy. Okay, so hot but good day at Epcot. And I believe that the next day was going to be your first and only day in Animal Kingdom during this trip.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot.
I've got so much to tell you about this. Your listeners are going to hate me for this, because I have so many funny stories to share. So it started off when we were driving, and it was like the cast member was taking a little bit longer, and I thought, why is this person taking so long, you know, to get people in? And of course, this is basically my twin. She's very chatty and very friendly, and I noticed on her badge that she said, you know, it said Snellville. And I meant to say, oh, we live close by there. And I ended up saying, oh, we live there. And I was like, oh, Kevin, you big doofus. But we shared, you know, a couple things that were in interest of the area. So she knew I wasn't just trying to just say it. We got upgraded parking, preferred parking. And I thought, oh, this is fantastic, you know. So that was a really cool way to start. Was not expecting that at all. So when we got there, we ended up walking around, and we went to see The Lion King. And that is an amazing show. That is, oh my gosh, so much fun, and even more fun to photograph. But I met my twin at this show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guy who was sitting in the row in front of us. And he was super high energy. And after they did the cheer, he would turn around and he would get the crowd jazzed up to do the cheer again on our own. And he and I were kind of teasing the other group, saying, oh, you weren't. It was just so much fun. We just had a great time. He got called down to be a part of the show, which was really cool. And that is just such a fun show. That was amazing. Really, 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 really good. So I met a new friend. I met my twin. So I was very excited about that.
Yay.
It was really cool. We sent emails back and forth, and it was great.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, did you exchange contact information?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got a great picture of him giving the Lion King a hug. And one of the things about being a photographer is that I know I drive my family crazy, but I was so thankful that I brought one of my longer lenses, my telephoto lenses, to capture some of the performers. And my gosh, you don't realize how intricate the costumes are until you see it real up close. And it is stunning, absolutely beautiful on so many levels.
Can we talk about navigating with a camera?
Absolutely, of course.
I know it's tricky. I travel with someone every trip pretty much that has a DSLR. I know it's not easy because it's extra stuff to carry.
Yes.
So what was your experience? Did you take it every day?
I did. I took it every day. I have a very large mail bag. I call it my Disney bag, because all the characters from the My Disney is on there. You know, kind of like the updated characters, and which was a real hit. What I was really surprised. But the bag was big enough to where I could carry some lenses and some small accessories like batteries. But I don't use things like flashes or a tripod unless I'm going to do a lot of evening shots. So my equipment load wasn't that heavy, but I would always hold my camera in my left hand ready to take a shot. And if I know I'm going to go to an area that requires a lens that could zoom in a little bit further, I would then take off my wide angle lens and then put on the other lens. So I'm constantly looking around to see, oh, can I photograph that? And of course, I would photograph things a little too long, and then I have to run and catch up with Alexis and John, because they know, you know, they know how I am. If I see something, I'm going to photograph it, and then I'll have to run and catch up. So it's kind of like a a known thing. It's like, oh, you know, dad's taking photos. He'll catch up. But actually carrying it around wasn't that bad for me, only because I've been doing it for so long and I don't take a whole lot of equipment. I carry an extra, you know, a couple lenses. You know, I only brought two this time versus, say, like four or five. But security was actually really, really helpful about it. You know, they were very accommodating. I took the lens off the camera so they can look inside to see that it actually is a working camera and not just, you know, a shell of a camera. They seem to appreciate that. And then I just put everything in the front bag so they can just look and see, so it didn't take long through security, which makes a big difference too. But I don't carry backpacks though. I think that's the key. If you can carry like a mail bag, it tends to go a lot faster than, say, an actual backpack with multiple zippers and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. But you got lots of pictures at Festival of the Lion King, right? And I assume you probably did it all throughout Animal Kingdom.
Oh, all throughout. My total picture count for the trip was 42,000 photos, which is not as impressive. It's not as impressive as it sounds, though, I promise. It really isn't. And I'll tell you why. Because it would have been a lot higher, but I ran out of SD cards. Most of those are duplicates. When I push down the shutter, it takes like three or four shots.
Right, like a burst mode kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. So multiple photos were taken. And then by the time I go through all the ones that don't work, I end up with about 130 photos. So, and of those, maybe only 50 are worth showing.
Right. Well, that's the thing about digital photography. Take lots, and then you'll find something good.
Eventually.
Okay. So what else did you do at Animal Kingdom?
So so the reason I'm laughing because we went exploring because we had some fast passes for Everest, for me to go on Everest. And I'm going down this one little path, and he says, "We haven't been down here before, have we?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And we walk down this path where it kind of just goes in like a roundabout or just, you know, like a curve, if you will, just something you can walk around. There's Pocahontas with two cast members, and she's just talking with them. And I thought, I have never met Pocahontas before. This is amazing. I'm so excited about this. So I walk up to her and I say hello, and John and Alexis are resting their feet, and we're having this really nice conversation. And between the four of us, it's just been really nice. And then Pocahontas asks me what my spirit animal is. And I don't know. It was the heat. And we're just having a great conversation. All of us are being silly. And I say roadkill.
Oh, no.
And they could not stop laughing. The four of us were just in hysterics for the longest time. And I think I broke Pocahontas a little bit because she was laughing so hard with the other cast members. We had to kind of like regain our composure. It was that funny. And so I was taking photos of her, and she was trying not to burst out laughing again. It's just one of those kind of funny moments where, I don't know, everyone, I guess, was just feeling silly, and it just, I don't know, it just kind of happened that way.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
That's cute. It's fun. It's fun to have fun with the characters.
Yes, and they were just great. And eventually some other folks came, and you know, she was talking with them, but they were so funny. And the cast members were still laughing. We just had such a great time. That was really fun. And that allowed me to go on Everest. And John and Alexis were checking out something else. But the single rider line was so short, I actually was able to ride Expedition Everest three times before my fast pass. And so I actually rode it four times in a row, which was terrific. I really enjoyed that. And then after that, that was actually really, really fun. Actually, Alexis wanted flame barbecue. John wanted pizza from Pizza Safari. And for some reason, I was craving Yak and Yeti. It's just a really great restaurant. I really enjoy it. And I had the honey chicken, which I highly recommend. It's a quick service meal, and it was really, really good. And it came with carrots and I think snap peas, or I think it was snap peas. Really, really good. That was absolutely just fantastic.
So did you eat at all three quick service restaurants?
We ended up getting the pizza and then We ate at Flames Barbecue because Yak and Yeti was just on the other side of the bridge there. So I just got it and just ran back. And so we just ended up just eating there. And I didn't know how really cool the theming was because we were looking around going, oh, okay, there's the predator and the prey. And it was just kind of balanced out. And we walked around there a little bit. And we've never seen that before. So that was actually really fun to take a look. So that was actually really kind of cool. But then something happened on the safari ride, the safari trek, where we were – the truck in front of us just stopped. And then so we were stopped as well, and we're kind of trying to figure out, well, what's going on? A tree had fallen, and the rhinos were very agitated by this. I guess it just happened just as we were coming around the bend, and the rhinos were – very, very active. You know, they were not happy about the noise. They were kind of freaked out. And so we were watching the rhinos kind of go through and just kind of make, you know, heads or tails of what's going on. A cast member comes out in a truck and tries to cut the tree. Well, the rhino started going after the cast member. She jumped in the car and she was fine. Thank goodness. The rhinos walked away and she was able to, I think someone said she used a machete. You know, it was very, you know, very Jungle Trek-ish. You know, it was really kind of like, a, oh, wow. Got rid of the tree, moved it out of the way, and the trek moved on. But the rhinos were still kind of like looking at us, and one started coming a little bit closer, almost like he was agitated, but everything worked out really well.
The whole time this is going on, you're just sitting in your safari vehicle waiting?
Yeah, we're just waiting. It wasn't that long of a wait. I think maybe it was maybe 15 minutes at most. It probably wasn't even that long. But I kept looking out of the corner of my eye at the rhino going, okay, what is he going to do? Because he was just staring at us and he kept walking a little bit. Then he'd walk away. Then he'd come back. And I was the other two rhinos and trying to figure out where they were. And it was pretty intense for a couple of minutes there. We didn't really know what they were going to do.
You're up pretty high, right? So
I think we're up pretty high, and I think if the rhino was to do anything, I think that, you know, they would hit the lower part of the truck, so we were high enough, but, you know, just given that, you know, their weight and speed and the force that they can, you know, that would really be kind of an interesting story to add on to.
Yeah, interesting is a good word.
So, yeah, they were kind of freaking out a little bit. But yeah, they seemed to calm down, once, I don't know if it was just the tree and then the trucks and then the other truck came, but eventually everything they got, you know, they ended up going a different direction and things seemed to be a little bit better. So that was nice.
Good. You mentioned you may have some other things at Animal Kingdom, but you mentioned beforehand that you would be having dinner at a Rainforest Cafe at Animal Kingdom. So did you end up doing that?
We did. In fact, we did that at the end of the day. And that's one of those things that we kind of thought about. Like at the end of the day, we're probably going to be hot. The restaurant is literally at the exit of Animal Kingdom. And the one thing that I keep forgetting that is the food is great, but sometimes it can get a little, not sometimes, but kind of your experience is going to be, it's going to be loud in there with the animals and then just the crowd itself. So that's one thing I always, if people ask, I always say, yeah, it's a fine restaurant, but just be prepared to have a very loud environment because it's definitely not quiet. You know, you have animals and making noise and you have thunder and lightning and just general crowd noise. So, but it was good though. And it was nice to have the opportunity to eat right there and not have to go anywhere else for that.
Right. Anything else at Animal Kingdom that day that you want to mention?
We had a great time with Cali River Rapids. That was actually a lot of fun. So that was really fun. And there was one poor guy behind us who got stuck under the elephants that sprayed water. And, you know, that boat was not moving because there was a little bit of a traffic jam. So that poor guy got soaked really hard. But Cali River Rapids was perfect because it was a warm day, and that's a great way to cool off. That was really a lot of fun.
A lot of people skip that one because they don't want to be wet. But if you like those river raft rides, it's kind of a pretty one.
It is, and it's so great the way it's themed and the story behind it. I don't want to give any spoilers, but even the when you go through the queue, there are some amazing things to look at and breathe in and look, you know, and oh, it's just terrific.
Beautiful. Not a lot of people, I don't know if we've heard that mentioned on the trip reports much for the podcast, so I'm glad you got to do it. What else did you do, Animal Kingdom?
We just ended up kind of roaming around. We did go into Pandora. Alexis and John, well, actually, Alexis never saw the movie, and I saw it forever ago, and I think John saw it not long ago. And so we didn't have a real connection to it, but we wanted to go in and see it because of the theming, and we thought, oh, maybe we couldn't get any fast passes for the rides. So we went to see, let's check out the land, let's explore it. But the times were roughly about 2 hours for each attraction. So we ended up just ending up going to dinner because we just wanted to check it out, just see what it was like. And it's really, really a nice place. But maybe next time we'll have an opportunity to ride something.
Yeah, when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is pulling all the crowds over there, maybe Pandora will be easier to navigate.
We'll have a chance.
That's right. So I know that your next day was going to be a big day at Magic Kingdom because you had both a tour and Magic Kingdom After Hours, right?
Yes, and that tour, the Marceline to Magic Kingdom, we hit Disney gold with that because our host actually met Walt Disney when she was like 4 or 5, I think she said, and had a relationship with him. And she was saying, oh, I mean, it was amazing to hear the stories about, you know, how she met Walt and, you know, some of the things that he said to encourage her to work at Magic Kingdom. And it was incredible. And the tour was so nice. And when we got to go backstage to see how the ballroom scene worked at Haunted Mansion, and I won't have any spoilers because I don't want to ruin the fun. That was really, really cool. That mind blowing cool. I just thought that was just the coolest. That made my whole morning.
I may have spoiled that before on the podcast because I've done it, but, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know the line between explaining how something goes and spoiling it because, you know, that's the appeal is how amazing it is to go backstage at some of these attractions. So I agree. The Haunted Mansion behind the scenes, I think, is probably the highlight. But there's a lot of great elements to that tour.
There is. And I thought it was so cool the way that, you know, we were talking about the Carousel of Progress and some of the things that she pointed out that once she pointed it out, because I don't want to say what it was, but you know, when the lights go out, you know, that scene, she had mentioned something. We're like, oh, well, of course, that makes sense. You know, yeah. But I don't want to give that away because I don't want to ruin the, like, oh, that's cool moment. But those little things that make such a big difference, things that I never even would have thought about unless someone had pointed them out. And it's such a great tour. It really is just such a wonderful tour, and I highly recommend it.
When you're talking about Carousel of Progress, did you have an earbud in and then they were narrating the ride as you went?
Yes. And that was actually really kind of nice because it added a little bit more magic, I think, because it felt like you were being spoken to directly, like you were the only person in the room. And I thought that was a really nice touch to have that opportunity to hear these you know, wonderful, you know, pieces of information and the story behind it and some of the other little pieces of trivia, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that just really made a big difference. That little earpiece just made all the difference. I thought that was really kind of cool, especially going through the Haunted Mansion and hearing some of the interesting components of how it starts in one way and ends up another way and how that happens. And you know, the combination of different artists and Imagineers and how some of the tricks, how they pulled off some of the tricks in the Haunted Mansion, I thought was absolutely fascinating.
Yes, I'm glad you liked it. I keep saying tours are what I think Disney does best because it's it's the best cast members and it's these amazing exclusive experiences and they're just, I don't think you could go wrong.
It's absolutely worth the money because after the tour, we went on a couple rides, and then we went back to the hotel to kind of rest up a little bit because we were going to go to that after hours event. So we ended up going back to the hotel, and I think we got back to Magic Kingdom around 4 or 5. And we were able to go on Pirates of the Caribbean and a lot of things beforehand, which I thought was great. And then instead of watching the fireworks, we just ended up going on all the different rides. We went on the Jungle Cruise. We went on Peter Pan. I went on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train a couple times, which that was actually really fun. It's a lot shorter than I thought it would be. I've always heard that, oh, no, it's good, but it's short. I didn't realize it is short, but it's still fun. It's still a lot of fun. We went on Buzz, and I went to Space Mountain, why Alexis and John went to Winnie the Pooh. And one thing about Space Mountain that I didn't realize until like these after hour events, the distance between the entering Space Mountain and then actually getting to the attraction part, I had no idea how long that path actually is until you start walking it by yourself when no one else is around. And I thought, wow, that's a long distance.
It's really long.
Very surprised by that. And then we went on the Jungle Cruise again, which was great. And the second time that was really fun. She was the skipper was hilarious. She was so funny, and we had a great crew for both of them. But I think it worked out really well because everyone was really into it, and I think that made it a lot more fun. But there was one thing, though, that really surprised me, and I think it just goes to say you don't really know what someone's going through. I can't remember if we talked about it, but I made these little buttons to give to the cast members that says, you know, thank you for the magic, you are appreciated. And I was giving these out to cast members, more so ones that kind of looked like they were having kind of a rough day. And I can't even begin to tell you how much they appreciated just this acknowledgement. One cast member was almost in tears saying, you have no idea how much I needed this today. And I thought, well, we have to be nicer to these cast members. You know, that is, it was very, very sweet. And I'm glad that I, you know, made their day. So I'm going to continue to do this on every trip from this point forward. But I was really surprised by that.
I'm going to link to cast member thank you notes that I have, just because I think it's important to also look out for, you know, so whatever you do, whether it's a button or just a compliment, I think that it's so important to look for those, because these people are not getting rich off of working at Disney World, you know,
right.
And you know how hot we both were on our trips, and they're out there in the heat, and they're dealing with cranky guests and people that are rude, and you know, they're just trying to do their job and try to make it, you know, a good time for you. But people are probably more often mean than not.
Yes. That's very like sad panda kind of thing going on.
It is super sad. So it's good to compliment them when you can and acknowledge them, because they are tired too.
Yeah, they do such a great job.
So when you were talking about going on all these rides, and was this during Magic Kingdom After Hours or before?
It was, the majority of them were After Hours. And I have to say, I really, really, really liked the After Hours, and that's at Magic Kingdom. And I'm sure we're going to do that again, because we actually were able to go on, what's the one with the cars? The Speedway.
Yes.
And the Speedway was recently updated, and it looks terrific. There's fresh paint. You know, there's like pops of color, kind of like a hint to the maybe late 80s, early 90s. And the cars, the cars look like they've been cleaned up or replaced or repainted. They look amazing. And it was really fun driving at night. I think I have more fun driving at night than, say, during the day. There's something about Magic Kingdom at night that just, I don't know, there's just a wonderful warmth in the evening hours that you just can't get during the day. There's something really magical about that at night.
But can we talk about what you said about Hollywood Studios After Hours, which is...
Yes. It lost the magic. And I think part of that is because Hollywood Studios is my absolute favorite park, and it's not anymore. And I think that's because when we were there during the day, I was expecting to see the street performers, you know, some of the cars, you know, like the taxi and the red car, which I can't remember right now. All that's gone. And I thought it takes away because those little details really make a huge difference. And, you know, and a lot of stores were closed. And now I don't know if it's just me, but Shannon, you have a better gauge on this than I do. But it seemed like there was everywhere I was looking, there was so much Toy Story 4 merchandise. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if I see one more Toy Story 4 thing, I'm going to go nuts. and I don't know if that's always been with other things. I just never noticed. But it seems like there is nothing but Toy Story 4 merchandise in like majority of that park. Which is fine. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it just seemed like I was overwhelmed with Toy Story merchandise, but yet I didn't get that old Hollywood feel like I did last time. And even at night, it was a completely different vibe from the day. It was still fun, don't get me wrong, but there was definitely something, like you said earlier, there was definitely something different, complete opposite from Magic Kingdom.
So opposite, that's why I'm asking, is Magic Kingdom Afters, did it lose some of the magic at night?
Not at all. In fact, I think there was just as much or maybe a little bit more.
Okay, good. Interesting. Yeah. I've done Magic Kingdom Afters a few times, and I have at times thought that it lost the magic. Just because there isn't as much like music or stuff going on, so it kind of felt like walking through a dead park.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it is a different vibe, but you can do so many rides in such a short time.
It makes such a big difference. Now, the music was playing. We did actually hear, you know, the music and, you know, going from one area to the next. So I think maybe at one time they may not have played it. I think that was like a couple of, I can't remember. I thought that there was a time where they weren't playing music or something, and it was just kind of like eerie and kind of strange and weird.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, that's when I first started going a couple years ago to those after hours, and it was dead. But they do these surveys afterwards, and you can say, like, was it too quiet? Was it? And so they're clearly aware that this is a thing. So it sounds like they have improved it from your experience.
Yes, you definitely had the same music, the same, you know, sounds and scents, you know, that come through. So I think they must have taken the feedback pretty seriously because it was so nice to have that. And I have to say it was kind of funny. I was really looking forward to like the lanyards like they have at the Star Wars dessert party, and they have the bands, which was fine. I mean, that's still pretty cool, but you're kind of like, oh, they're saving money. You know,
the lanyards were very cute though, because they have that retro logo for After Hours, and it's just a cute thing to wear, and it feels important as you're walking.
Right? Through. Yeah, you're like, hey, look at me. You know, I've got this.
I've got credentials.
That's right. I'm important.
But it's just
do the whole Wayne's World thing. You know, holding it up, to everyone.
It's not as cool as holding up your wristband.
No, I felt like such a dork. You know, the whole time I'm like, yeah, here's my wife, here's my band. You know.
Yeah. So you started your trip with Hollywood Studios After Hours, and you ended it with Magic Kingdom After Hours, right?
Yes, that was a busy week, but really, really fun. Yes.
Good. And then the 24th was your last day, the next day. And that's when you, I assume, checked out and went home, right?
We checked out. We actually went to see my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They only live about an hour away.
Oh, that's right.
What, you know, great way to wrap up the holiday, our week rather, and then spend the holiday weekend with my parents, which was wonderful. So we were so happy to see them. And they got to see their grandbaby.
Yes, that's always nice. since you were close by, it's nice that you got to do that. So overall, you told us beforehand that you had Memory Maker. So did you think you got the value of the Memory Maker?
I think so. And it was really nice because we got a lot of great shots, and we actually got a couple surprise shots, meaning that I completely forgot about the Haunted Mansion taking your photo as you're going through. So I thought that was really cool. That, you know, your picture is taken and then it just, you know, just shows up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that's really cool. So I thought that was really kind of neat. But I think we did. There were some lines that were a little bit long that we probably could have gone back to and did it again, but I thought we got our money's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you bring up those exclusive shots, because most of the time when people look at Memory Maker, they think of how many pictures did I get, but there's also these exclusive things that you cannot get if you don't have it. So the on-ride photos are some of the on-ride photos fall into that category. So it's nice to have that. And Haunted Mansion is the newest one on the list. So
that was really cool to see. That was really, really cool to see.
they've had some glitches with the ride photos. So I was afraid to ask you earlier if you got yours, but I'm glad that you did.
We did. It took a little bit longer and sometimes in the other. And I'm just guessing, just being a photographer myself, that you have to carefully go through each photo to make sure there's not some wild crap that's being done or something like that.
Yeah. So it's relatively new. They review them to make sure there isn't anything inappropriate. So it can take 1 to 2 days to appear in your account, which is frustrating.
That makes sense. Yeah, that could see that, because yeah, you just never know. Yeah,
you never know. So you told us earlier that you liked the Disney dining plan. So you felt like you were able to, did you have any credits left over? Were you able to use them all?
We did. I actually forgot that to use a quick service credit for John and I. So we ended up having several more like snack credits, but it worked out really well because we were able to take a little bit of Disney back home with us. So that worked out pretty well. So that was fun.
Good. Okay. So Disney Dining Plan, Memory Maker. You made shirts for each park, right?
I did, for each day that I was there. The biggest hit was Al's Toy Barn. I think that was the one that a lot of folks really liked. And in fact, coming back from Florida, I wore Al's Toy Barn shirt again because it was just clean. That's just the first thing I grabbed. And when we were driving back, we stopped off at Starbucks, walked inside, and everyone in there was a Disney fan, and they loved the shirt. And so the Starbucks employee, the barista, said, "I love your shirt so much, and I'm such a huge fan of Toy Story. The drink is on me."
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Thought, "Are you kidding? That is so cool." And the name of my cup was Al's Toy Barn. That was the name of the cup. So I thought that was so clever.
That is adorable.
It was really fun. So, yeah, the shirts really got a big hit. John's shirt, a lot of people liked it. They were like, "Hey, did you see that shirt? And where did he get that shirt?" And so I thought it was well worth the time and the effort to make them, because I just like to do something different. I don't like to have the same thing that everyone else has, just for conversation purposes with.
And no one is more appreciative of that than cast members, because they see everything. And so it's nice when they have something different, you know, they're like, "Oh, that's unique. Great, great job." So it doesn't surprise me that they were going crazy over your shirt. Is there anything about your trip that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I just wanted to, if I could, I might get a little sappy, but I just wanted to say to Alexis and John, I mean, I'm the luckiest man the world, because I have an amazing wife and amazing son. And when my feet were hurting, you know, John, who is the most considerate young man on the planet, was like, "Dad, you want to sit down?" You know, he put a pillow under my feet. Alexis was checking on me. And I just wanted to say to both of them that I love you more than life itself, to the moon and back. And I am the luckiest man in the world to have such an incredible family. I just love you both so, so much. And I just had to let them know how much I appreciate them, and they're just amazing.
Oh, that's nice. They're lucky to have you too, Kevin.
Well, thank you. Just made my week.
Yes. Well, so we're lucky to have had you on the podcast too, because I have thoroughly enjoyed your trip report. So thank you for taking the time to share it with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. You have no idea how much I appreciate this. This made my entire year.
Oh, that's nice. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that trip report from Kevin as much as I did. I did want to share a quick tip with you, and this one was sent in by Ashley A. And she said, "I am sharing a tip I learned while trying to find missing pictures taken by PhotoPass photographers. We came back from our trip at the beginning of May, and when I sat down a few days ago to download all of our pictures from Memory Maker, I realized not all the photos were there from a few of our character meetings, and I had misplaced the PhotoPass card that was handed out at Jedi training. I went to the My Disney Experience website and clicked a link that said report a missing photo and filled out information and questions they asked. Took less than 5 minutes. They say to be as specific as possible about what you're wearing, what characters you were meeting, etc. Since I had photos on my phone of the specific day, I was easily able to answer the questions. I submitted my request and 2 days later, Disney had found all the photos that were missing, emailed me back to let me know, and uploaded them to our My Disney Experience photos. So that is a fantastic tip from Ashley. You do have the option also to call them if you want to, and sometimes they will be able to work through it on the phone with you. That's what happened when I lost the Haunted Mansion ride photos, didn't appear in our account, so I called and they found out that the camera was broken on my photos, but they were able to find Heather, and that was immediately linked to her My Disney Experience account and appeared right away. So that's a good tip. Not all is lost. If you don't see your photos, be sure to submit a request online or you can give them a call. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For information on the show, including links to things that were mentioned, please check the show notes in your podcast app or go to the website, www.prepschool.com, and click on podcast at the top and look for episode 214. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.